We're going to be in John chapter 15. We'll be finishing it up today. We did have a little intermission there, didn't we?
Yeah.
From John, for Easter. So we read the first 17 verses, right? We studied them a couple weeks ago. But then, you know, Easter shows up, so we do an Easter message and an Easter sermon. And now we're going to try to pick it back up where we left off. Amen? Sometimes that's difficult too, isn't it? Right? Man, we've learned a lot in John up to this point. John is such a good book. But man, I just want you to know there's so many layers to the book of John, man. So many layers to the book of John. But it is the most easiest to read, right? And the most plainly spoken, plainly written. So if you were going to send a new Christian to a book in the Bible to read, you would send that person to the book of John. Amen? Last week, let me start with this. Jesus, in the book of John, he gives seven I am statements. And all them I am statements are to let you and I know that he is God. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then a couple weeks ago, I am the true vine. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in the vine that does not bear fruit will be cut off and what? Thrown into the fire. And then Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear fruit. Much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Isn't God good? We talked about that last week. That's what we talked about, the vine and the branches, and that's where we're going to pick it up this week. But before we do, I just want to share a verse with you that I probably read 100 times, but just, you know, a couple weeks ago when that verse hit me, man. And I want to share it with you. It has nothing to do with today's message. I just want you to remember this verse from John 15, and chapter 15, verse 9. And here it is right here. As the Father has loved me, I love you. As the Father loved Jesus, that's how Jesus loves you. No, you can't really understand all that to the fullest extent. But I want you to know there's nobody that loves you more than your Savior, Jesus Christ. All the people combined in the world and all the love they have for you doesn't even come close to the love that Jesus has for you and me. And I put that on my memory list. You know what that is? That's a verse that I'm going to memorize, and I'm going to memorize because in the down times, those times you might feel discouraged, you might feel depressed, man, that verse pops up into your head. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Amen. That's a love that never goes away. It's unconditional and absolute. Amen. Am I right, Chris? Man. All right. So, the title this morning is, They Hated Me. They're going to hate you. Amen. They hated me. They will hate you. And also, you could also say, they persecuted me. And they're going to persecute you. Or if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This is such an encouraging message today because, you know, today I want you to know that we live in a world that is hostile to the message of the gospel. A world that is hostile to the name. Just that, you know, I can go talk to people. I can talk to them about anything. I can talk to them about politics, what's going on, you know, mental problem, but as soon as I mention Jesus, it's almost like something goes off, man, right? They get angry or man. But you know what? Yeah, that's what you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So it's not just me, right? Man, I thought maybe I was saying it wrong or something. Jesus. That's a beautiful name, isn't it? They hated me, they will hate you. So let's pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. And it says this, Jesus is speaking. Let me give you the context because that's always important. They're still in the upper room, are they not? Some people believe they've already left the upper room, but if you read chapter 18, verse 1, it says, when he finished speaking, he left with the disciples. All right, so they're in the upper room. They finished the Passover meal. Come on. And Jesus, just hours away from being crucified, and he chooses to spend these last moments teaching his disciples. But he's not just teaching them, is he? Because today he's teaching us. Come on. All right. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as your own, as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Man, at least a couple of you got excited about that. I'm excited about being chosen out of the world. I don't know about you, but I am. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. So Jesus really just telling them plain and simple here, right? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But they're going to hate you and they're going to persecute you because of your love and your relationship with me. That's what he's telling them, is he not? So Jesus is saying, don't be surprised when the world hates you and the world persecutes you, because I want you to remember when they do, they hated me and persecuted me first. And by the way, he said this, a servant is not greater than his master. You remember when he first said that? Because he said, I want you to remember me telling you, when he washed the disciples' feet, and he said, hey, a servant is not greater than his master. As I have washed your feet, so wash one another's feet. Amen. And listen, a servant is not greater than his master. And if you are God's servant, and if you are the servant of Jesus and he is your master, hear me, if they hated him, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. Amen? All right. So this, you know, I want you to know something too, because Jesus is speaking prophetically here, because they haven't really experienced this yet, have they? Not to the degree that Jesus is talking about, right? So he's warning them ahead of time. But the disciples would know and would understand this hatred and this persecution that Jesus is talking about. And I'll tell you why. Because each one of the men in that room were hated. Each one of the men in that room were persecuted. In matter of fact, each one of the men in that room, with the exception of John, was executed because of their relationship and their love for Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter, crucified upside down, according to the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Andrew, his brother, crucified on a cross of an X. James, we know, was stabbed to death by Herod, remember? Bartholomew, he was filleted alive. Yeah, filleted alive. And we know what happened to Paul. He was beheaded by Nero in Rome. So yes, yes. They didn't understand what they were going through, but they would understand what they were going through. But here's the deal, man. All they would have had to do is say, hey, all right, I'm done with this Jesus, dude. But none of them did. What happened to John? God wasn't done with John yet. So he exiled him where? To the island of Patmos. Amen? Man, God is good. Christians throughout the centuries, too, by the way, have been persecuted and hated. And if you do the numbers and you look at the numbers today, what the numbers reveal is in the 20th century, more Christians have been killed or martyred for Jesus than all the centuries combined. And if you're paying attention right now, you know in Nigeria, come on, you get Christian headlines, you know that these people were simply celebrating Easter and they were mowed down. 170 of them were just gunned down and left in the road dead. Amen? Martyred for Jesus Christ. Today, yes, and it happens every single day. Every single day, people are dying because of their relationship, or hated and persecuted and killed because they love their Lord. Amen? Somebody asked me one time, well, you died for Jesus. Yeah, everybody says that now, don't they? Well, let me tell you this. This is how you can tell if you died for Jesus. Are you living for Him now? Because if you ain't living for Him now, ain't no way you're ever going to die for Him. Amen? All right. Let's move on. I want to read something to you from Matthew chapter 5. The context here is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. What a beautiful sermon that was, right? The best sermon preached by the best preacher ever to walk the face of this earth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 12, he says this, Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Wow. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, I get it too, sis. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Amen. Listen, he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted?
Yes.
Not only did he say, are you blessed when you're persecuted, but he said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you.
Yes.
Did he say you are blessed when people insult you, persecute you, say lies about you and evil against you? Man. And then he says, rejoice and be glad. Now listen, that don't make any sense in the world.
Nope.
People calling you names, insulting you, saying lies about you, and God says you're blessed, and now he says he wants you to rejoice and be glad. What does that look like? What does that look like? Because it doesn't line up with the world. But the spiritual side never lines up with the world. He said, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. So when you're persecuted, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. When you're persecuted and lied about and insulted, great is your reward in heaven. Sounds like a deal to me. It sounds like a deal to me. The hard part is the rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. That's the hard part, my friends. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I want you to notice something in that verse right there, because it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, right? And those who say all kinds of evil against you, persecute you, and lie about because of me. All right? You guys follow me here? So if you are hated and persecuted and ridiculed by the world, please do me a favor and make sure it's because you are not just obnoxious. Come on, you guys know them people I'm talking about. Come on. Amen? Because he says, because of righteousness. And listen, you have no righteousness that he didn't give you. So he's talking about his righteousness. And he also said, because of me. Not because of you, but because of me. I was reading some stories, and Chuck Smith was telling a story about a lady he had some issues with who was just always loud, always interrupting, always speaking out. He got on the bus one time, and he was at the back, and she was at the front, and she said, bless you, Chuck Smith. You know what I'm talking about? So he went to her. He said, blah, blah, whatever your name is. Man, you got to tone it down a little bit. You're not doing any good here for the kingdom of God. And she said, Lord, thank you for the persecution. Are you following me?
Amen.
If you're going to be persecuted, you make sure it's because for the right reason, because of his righteousness that is showing through you, and because of him and your relationship with him, and because you're standing with him and you're standing on the truth of God. You follow me? Man, I've seen so many of these types of people. Obnoxious. I mean, please, find somewhere else to go. Oh, wait a minute, they already have. All right. Come on. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says that we are to speak the truth in love. But we are to speak the truth. And you know, when people hear that, and you guys know me, when people call Jesus passive, I just get real, I just tense up. Because there was nothing passive about Jesus Christ. He came and he spoke the truth to everyone, whether they liked it or whether they didn't like it. He always spoke the truth. Amen. And you and I are called to speak the truth. We're not. We don't ask ourselves, I wonder if they'll like it. That ain't what we're supposed to do. We stand on the truth. We stand on the Word of God. We stand with Jesus. Amen. And yeah, I'm telling you, the world is hostile to what I got to say. But listen to me too, because it makes all the difference how I say it. It makes all the difference how I say it. Because if somebody, even a little bit, thinks I care about them, they're more apt to listen to me. If I'm beating them over the head with a Bible, calling out their sin, I'm not doing any good for the kingdom of God. I just want you to know that. That's not righteousness. That's self-righteousness showing through. Amen? So keep that in mind, man. I want to remind you of something Jesus said in John 13. We covered that a few weeks ago. He said, a new command I give you. You guys remember this? I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. He said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How are people going to know that you and I belong to Jesus? Pretty simple. By our love. I want you to know something. God's disciples are known by their love, as in contrast to the world. And listen, you tell me you don't see this going on right now. The world is known by their hatred. By their hatred. How do you want to be known? You know what? I don't care how you want to be known. Because Jesus said you should be known by your love, and you don't even get an opinion. You get a choice, but you don't get an opinion. Amen? Well, I think, forget it. He said, you will know my disciples by their love. But you got to speak the truth in love too. And you know what? Boy, some people just get like you lit a dynamite, like you lit dynamite when you start speaking the truth of Jesus. Amen? I don't got to yell it. I don't got to scream it. I don't got to beat them over the head. All I got to do is say, this is what the Bible says. This is what God said. This is what Jesus said. Amen? The Word will take care of itself. I don't got to defend the Word. Come on. That's God's job. And when we experience hatred and persecution, by the way, I said when, not if, but when we experience this hatred and persecution, what do you mean when, Pastor? I don't experience any. Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, he said, if you want to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. Let me repeat that. If you want to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. It's almost like Paul saying, hey, you can almost determine how godly your life is by the amount of persecution you're suffering from the world. Now, unfortunately, boy, it got quiet in here. Unfortunately, a lot of those times they'll come from family members. That'll come from the people closest to you. Amen. I just want you to know, man, Jesus is telling us they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. And I want to remind you of something else. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Amen? He said, I came to divide mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. That's what he came to do. And you know what the dividing factor there is? The truth. It's the truth. That's the division. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Did he say, be glad and rejoice except when it's a family member? That ain't what he said? No? Man, I told you that was the tough part, and it is the tough part. But man, when you're standing with Jesus, you know what I mean? You're standing on the truth, and you got that peace, and you got that joy in your heart because you know that you love Him, and you cherish that relationship with Him, man. There's just something about being in that spot. Amen? And it's hard. I'm not going to tell you it's not, because it is. It is. It really is. All right, so when we are hated and persecuted by the world because of righteousness, because we stand with Jesus and the truth on His Word, listen, instead of allowing it to depress you, instead of allowing it to discourage you, amen, the Bible says we should be excited about it. We should be joyful about it. Now, here's why. Because He says when we are persecuted and hated by the world, the kingdom of heaven belongs to us, and great is my reward in heaven. Again, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I just got to find a way to rejoice and be glad in it. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. Being persecuted is easy. Finding that joy and that contentment in it, that's the hard part. But it can be done, can it not? It can be done. And you know what else? It is, it's proof, and He said this, it's proof, it's evidence that you and I have been chosen by Him out of the world. Did He not say that? Right? I have chosen you out of the world. Amen? I mean, that's just a heck of a deal to me. Give me a double portion of that persecution and that hatred. I want to read one more verse for you. I want to go back to verse 19 because He said this. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. Yeah. Okay, man. So, you know, when I read verses like that, that stops me in my tracks. If I belong to the world's going to love me. So I got to start asking myself, how does the world see me? Right? Is the world patting me on the back saying I'm doing a good job? Come on. Am I a friend of the world? That makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes us stop and examine ourselves and say, hey, if you belong to the world loves you as its own. So it would be fair for me to tell you this morning, based on the Word of God right here, if the world loves you as its own, it's because you're a part of it. It's because you're a part of it. Amen. There's got to be some persecution. There's got to be some hatred. There's got to be. Because that's evidence that you are standing with, speaking the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember we knocked on many doors at Christian Outreach Church, remember? I knocked on one door, and they said, who is it? I said, Christian Outreach Church. They said, get the beep, beep, beep away. Right? Who was with me that day? Man, there were more cuss words than that. But you know what? I was just doing and being and where God had me to be. Amen? So, we left there rejoicing, didn't we? Yep. We left there. We learned some new words. Huh? Some of them you just can't get out of your head. Right? Once you hear them, you just can't get them out of your head. But yeah, I don't know what the guy looked like or anything, but he definitely had a vocabulary. Amen? All right. Let's move on, because Jesus is going to tell us in the next part of this chapter simply why they will persecute you and ridicule you and make lies about you. Listen, verse 21, they will treat you this way because of my name and because they do not know the one who sent me. Why are they going to treat you that way? Because of Jesus' name. Come on. You know what? If you don't use that name, they ain't going to treat you that way. If you don't share that name, witness to that name, testify with that name, they're not going to treat you that way. Do you want to be treated that way? What do you mean, no? I just told you when you were, heaven belongs to you, and great is your reward in heaven. Yes, but it cannot and will not come without the name, that one name, and we just sang about it, Jesus. You know, people are so afraid to say that name these days. So afraid to proclaim and testify and witness to the name of Jesus. You know why? Because they're going to be hated and they're going to be persecuted. So look, it's time to decide which one you want. You want to be a friend of the world? Or you want to be a friend of God? Come on. You want heaven that belongs to you and great is your reward? Or do you want to be liked by the world? Wait a minute. He just said if you belong to the world will love you as its own. Listen, I hope nobody looks at me and says, I blend into, I fade into, I look like the world. Come on, I should be different. Let me give you an analogy. I should be the light in a world full of darkness, man. When I walk into a room, people should know I'm different. People should know I'm different. Like when Janet walks into a room. Come on. I don't know if you guys know Janet that well, but she's a happy person. She loves the Lord. And she can bring any room up. Amen? Any room, she can bring it up. Mama Linda, you're the same way. You got walk in, you got that smile going on. Huh? Many of you guys are that way. Amen? What a great thing to have, to be able to do that. Let the love of Jesus and your peace and your hope just come out of every pore of your body. Come on. Some of y'all need to work on that, really. I mean, dang it. Come on. Some of y'all, am I lying, Beverly? I'm not lying. Oh, all right. I want you to listen to this next part very closely because a lot of people don't really understand what he's saying here. In verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Did Jesus just say that if I had not come and spoken to them or revealed their sin to them, then they would not be guilty of sin? But because I have, they have no excuse for their sin. Is that what he said? All right, I want you to remember that. Verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father as well. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus and God is a package deal. All right, you can't say you have a relationship with God if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you can't have a relationship with Jesus unless you have a relationship with God, because the Bible says that God is the one who calls you to his Son, Jesus. Amen. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's a package deal. Amen. You know, there are people and religions out there that believe Jesus was a prophet, but they believe we got the same God. We don't got the same God. Because if we don't got the same Jesus, we don't got the same God. Amen? You got to have the right Jesus. And we got the right Jesus. Come on. All right. In verse 24, if I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both my Father, both me and my Father. Man. So he talks about his words, and he talks about his works. He said, hey, if I hadn't come and spoken the words, come on, then they wouldn't be guilty of sin. If I hadn't come and done the works that I'd done, they wouldn't be guilty of sin. What is Jesus trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us, look, you're going to be responsible for what you know. You're going to be responsible for the knowledge that you have. But listen, he also said, now follow me for a minute here, you're not going to be responsible for the knowledge that you don't have. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? All right, hold on. They would not be guilty. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. Is that what he's saying? He is saying that. He is saying that. Amen? So when God comes and God judges people, would it be fair to say he's going to judge them according to the knowledge that they have received? Because when you receive knowledge, with that knowledge comes responsibility. Amen. Follow me here for a minute, because really it makes people think. And what most people, let me read 2 Peter to you, 2:21. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Amen? So, and I could share other spots where he's talking about it would be better not to have known Or as Jesus says, I have came and spoken to him, now there is no excuse for their sin, right? You might say, well, Pastor, dang it. I don't want to know. Well, it's too late for you. You already know. You already know about Jesus. And if you don't, stick around at the service. I'll introduce you to him. Amen? Amen. Best decision you ever make. Best man you'll ever meet is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. If he's your Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a great sound right there. All right, where was I? All right. It's too late because, listen, you guys have heard the truth, and you are responsible for the truth you heard. What is he kind of saying here? Look, I've been saved since 1994. And if someone's sitting here and they've been saved since last week, come on. I'm responsible for all the knowledge that I've gained since 1994. And they're responsible for all the knowledge they have gained since last week. Are you following me? Follow me because this is important. And you say, well, Pastor, if nobody hears the gospel, then they're not responsible and they get to go to heaven. No. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. I want to remind you of something Paul told Timothy in Titus 2:11. He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, how God reveals himself to people, now I'm going to leave that up to God. We do know in Romans chapter 1, it says that you are without excuse. You can just look around at God's creation and know that there is a God. So you are without excuse, and everybody has an opportunity. Am I right? I want you to think about this verse for a minute. For the grace of God that brings salvation. So who brings salvation to you? The grace of God brings it to you. And the grace, there's no better picture than Jesus on the cross of God's grace. Am I right? All right, so you don't go out and get salvation, right? Man, it comes to you because of God's grace. And you and I have an opportunity to either accept it or reject it. Amen. I was talking to somebody this week. He kind of leans towards Calvinism. Anybody ever heard of Calvinism? And talking about no free will and no choice. But, you know, I can't get on board with that. I can't get on board with that. God presented, Chris right here presented me with the gospel. And God allowed me to make the choice of what I was going to do with his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I made that choice. Did God know what choice I'd make? Absolutely he did. If he didn't, he ain't God. Man, but he is God. And he is a good God. I want to read something to you too. And this comes from, he's talking about watchfulness. Or he's talking about the good servant and the faithful servant. Anybody know where I'm at? And the wicked servant, man, what happened is, the Lord tarried and his master tarried in coming. And so he began to beat the servants, both men and women, the Bible says. He began to get drunk and do all that types of stuff. And the Bible says he's going to take that wicked servant and he's going to cut him into pieces. I'm quoting the Bible here. And throw him out with the unbelievers. Amen. Let me read something to you from Luke chapter 12, verse 47, 48. Listen. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. All right? But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. Are you following him here? You think he's talking about literal blows? No, he's not talking about literal blows. Listen to what he says. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Amen. Man, I've been saved for, 30-something years. There's a lot that's required of me. Amen. And there's a lot more that's going to be asked of me. You follow me? Some of you guys have been saved as long as I have. Longer, yes, okay, but here's my question, man. God requires a lot from you. My question to you is, are you doing a lot? You say, Pastor, don't be so rough on me. I'm not. I'm telling you what God said. Where it lands and how it lands, well, that's up to you. Amen. But that's what he said. To whom much is given, much is required. But not only that, and this to me is a blessing, because he says, much more will be asked. I want God to ask me. I want to be the one who's available for God to ask. But if I'm not even doing what he's requiring of me, he ain't going to ask me to do anything extra. And listen, anytime God asks you to do something, you are in for a blessing. You're in for a blessing. Come on. What do you mean, Pastor? I had to stop and change that guy's tire. God told you to do it. You don't see that as a blessing? That you did what God said? You're all whacked out, right? He who has been given much, much will be required. So if you're sitting here and you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years, listen to me. Much is required of you. Amen? And the question you got to ask yourself is, are you so entwined with the world that you're no heavenly good? Are you following me? Man, I want to be so entwined spiritually that I ain't no worldly good. And there's a difference. And really it comes back to, well, does the world love you as its own? Nothing should be more important to you than your relationship with Jesus Christ. But I promise you this, if it is the best and it is the most important and it is the top in your life, everything else will just seem to fall in place. It'll make everything else bearable? No. Manageable? No. Blessed! Come on! All right, verse 25, he said this, but this is to fulfill what is written in their law. So everything that he said, hated, blessed, persecuted, all that, he said, this is to fulfill what is written in whose law? No, is that what he said? God's law? Think about it. Wait a minute. You got to read this right, because he didn't say my law, because the law is his law. Am I right? He said their law. So he's talking about something that they wrote. Am I right? All right. So when I go to look at this, you guys remember David was on the run from Saul. Now, it's really hard sometimes to assign certain psalms to certain events in people's lives. It really is sometimes. But sometimes it's pretty easy. Sometimes it's pretty easy and sometimes it's pretty clear. And I think here in Psalms 35 and here in Psalm 69, that it's pretty clear that this is when Saul and all Saul's soldiers and all that, they were hunting David down. What were they trying to do? Do you think they were really trying to kill him? Yes, they were literally trying to kill him. Why were they trying to kill him? Because God had anointed him king. So really, I want you to know something. They hated him and tried to kill him without reason. All right, let me show you here in Psalm 35. We'll read it first. Do not let those gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Do not let those who hate me without reason maliciously wink the eye. Amen. And then Psalm 69:4. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs on my head. Now, this could also be about Jesus Christ, if be honest with you. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. Amen. So that's why he says it was written in their law, because it wasn't written in his law. But David had said that. And you know, listen, here's the deal. David was confident, by the way, these psalms, these songs, or these prayers that we read here, David is saying, and he's talking to God, am I right? He's saying, I am confident in my innocence in reference to these people who are trying to kill me, or I'm confident in my innocence to these enemies of mine who are trying to kill me. That is the same thing that Jesus is saying here. When Jesus says, but this is the field what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. That's what Jesus is saying. He is confident in his innocence in the front of his enemies. Because what did he do? What did he do? Oh, wait a minute. He spoke the truth. That's all he did was come and speak the truth. They didn't want that truth. And you know what? They don't want that truth out there either. All right, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priest, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, they hated him. Were they trying to kill him? They were trying to kill Jesus. Absolutely they were. Why? Why? Why did they hate him so much? Because until he came, follow me here for a second, and stood among them or stood beside them, they looked like good people. They sounded like good people. But when Jesus came and stood right in amongst them, he showed them their true self. And listen, I want you to know something this morning. Sometimes people do not want to see their true self. Amen? Sometimes it's difficult to see. You know what Jesus is good at? He's good at showing a man his true self. Huh? Listen, he did that for me. And I want you to know, if you're saved here today, he did that for you. Because you can't be saved unless you know you're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior to save you from those sins. Well, he's good at that, isn't he? Showing up and just revealing a man's self to him. Wow. Keeps turning the pages. So they hated him without reason, didn't they? Because he came and preached the truth. But not only that, it's also because they were of the world. Jesus was not. But they absolutely were. Amen? All right. This next part, man, let me give you a little encouragement because you're going to be hated and all that stuff and persecuted and all that stuff. Listen to what he says. When the advocate comes, who's the advocate? Where would you be without him? Now, you'd be worse than lost. Right? You're condemned. All right. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Amen. Amen. What do we see there? We see God the Father. We see God the Son. And we see God the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity right there, right in front of our eyes. Amen. And then he tells them in verse 27, and you also should... Huh? Is there a difference between should and must? Because when I read must in the Bible, to me it constitutes a command. And you, yes, you better. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Man, listen, I want you guys to know something. Everything that we just read, you don't have to undertake it alone. You don't have to do it in your own strength or your own power or by yourself. He's sending you an advocate that's coming directly from the Father. And by the way, that advocate, that Holy Spirit, that Spirit of truth, is going to testify about Jesus. But he's going to do it through you. Come on, man. Am I right? Do you and I, are we supposed to carry the gospel with us? We are supposed to carry the gospel. We are supposed to share the good news about Jesus' life. Jesus' death. But not only that, Jesus' resurrection as well. Amen? Do you know that you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation? I don't even think a lot of us know what that means. Do you also know that we are ambassadors for Christ? Do you know what that is? You know what that means? We have ambassadors for every country here in the United States. You know what that means? That person goes to Hungary, or that person goes to Russia, or that person goes to China, and they're ambassadors. And who do they represent? The United States of America, us. And we are ambassadors for Christ. So we represent Jesus. Listen, when you say that name, say it like you mean it. Because that's a powerful name, man. That's a powerful name. I want to read something to you from 2 Corinthians 5. We'll be done. 16 through 20. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Once you got the Holy Spirit, You can no longer see people from a worldly point of view. Now you and I have the responsibility to see things through the perspective of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Right? And believe me, they're different. Because in the real world, you want to choke someone out. And in the spirit world, you want to try to love them and hug them. There's a difference. Though we once regarded Christ in this way too, we do so no longer. Man, what did you think of Christ before you got saved? Boy, I was a blasphemer. I'm just want you to know, man, I was a blasphemer. I didn't get away from me. Don't be talking to me that. I was of the world. And by the way, they love me too. The world I'm talking about. But he is such a good Savior, isn't he? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them.
Amen.
I'm happy with you too, sister. As he committed to us the ministry, and he committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's exactly what he's doing. And then what does Paul say? I love this. I'm going to tell you the same thing. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Amen. Can I do that this morning? Can I implore you this morning to be reconciled to Christ, to Jesus Christ? You say, Pastor, how do I do that? You got to first understand you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Make no mistake about it. You're a sinner. If you don't believe me, stop. But Jesus knew you couldn't stop. That's why he stepped out of heaven. He was God, right? And he stepped out of heaven. And he walked this earth and was tempted in every way you and I are tempted, but was without sin. And went to the cross. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And on that cross, yeah, he took our sin upon him. Matter of fact, he took all sin upon him. He paid the price for all sin. And he died on that cross. And they took him down, Joseph and Nicodemus. They put him in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again.
Amen.
Amen. And he paid the penalty for sin. And all you and I have to do is what? Receive it. That's it. Be reconciled. That's reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. Amen. If you would, stand up. It's good that, you know, when we read a discourse like this, and he's talking about, you know, they hated me, man. They're going to hate you. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. And we understand that all, with the exception of one of the apostles, literally died torturous deaths because they loved their Savior so much. Amen? But here, when he ends it like this, man, he's reminding us, you don't have to do any of this alone. Amen? Listen, when you are speaking when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. When you speak through the Holy Spirit, you are going to make some people mad. They are going to hate you, and they are going to persecute you. But there's a flip side. Because when you don't speak through the Holy Spirit, they aren't going to hate you. They aren't going to persecute you. They are going to love you. And the reason is because you look just like them. And they can't tell the difference. And I refuse for that to be me. And I hope this morning you refuse for that to be you. But Pastor, they might spit on me or throw something at me. You know what that is? That's proof that the kingdom of heaven belongs to you.
Amen.
Great is your reward in heaven, he said. Come on, take a few for the team. Amen. Do you guys understand that? It's very important. When we speak to the Holy Spirit, you will be hated and you will be persecuted. When you do not, you will not be hated and you will not be persecuted. And it's because you are very likely maybe on the wrong side of things. Amen? But you don't have to do any of that alone, because the Holy Spirit will help you through all. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this word, and Lord, just what you've shown us here about hatred and persecution. And Father, I just thank you that you haven't left us alone to deal with this, but you've given us the Holy Spirit, Lord. And it is only in that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who came and who testifies to us about you, that we're going to be able to rejoice and be glad in the face of this hatred and this persecution, Lord. But Lord, always help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to remember that we are representatives. We are your ambassadors, Lord. So help us to do that in the way that you would have us to do it. And Lord, always give us the desire, the commitment, the dedication to stand up against these lies today and speak the truth, unafraid of the hatred and persecution. For great is our reward in heaven. Lord, we commit this time to you. And before I do, Lord, I want to remind us all, to much who has been given, much is required. And Lord, I want to be that person that you ask more of. I want to be that person. But if I can't accomplish the basics, Lord, why would you give me more? So help me to see that in my own life, Lord. We love you, Lord, we do. Man, I'm thankful that my life is but a vapor. I am here today and with you tomorrow, Lord. Help us to see that and understand that, that this time really should be all about you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.